Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
President-elect Barack Obama, bless us so that we might follow and we might truly make the time when your kingdom might come here on earth.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want wedding.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself. But this war is for the soul of America.
I am absolutely convinced that culture wars are just so 90s. Their days are growing dark. It is time to turn the page. We want a new day.
You don't usually think about the man of the cloth out there fighting a different kind of a battle on the real battlefield with the man of war, but from the very earliest days of Christian involvement in civil society, the military chaplain has been there next to the soldier on the battlefield and everywhere else that they service. We're going to talk about the military chaplaincy on this Veterans Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You're listening to Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, November the 11th, Veterans Day. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. Our phone number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After a short discussion of the military chaplaincy, we'll spend the rest of today's program talking with Dr. Ron Rhodes about angels. Dr. Daniel Gard is a regular guest professor of Old Testament and dean of military chaplaincy programs at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He serves as chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves. Dr. Gard, welcome back.
Well, it is great to be back and to hear your voice.
Thank you.
It's been a long time, too long for me.
Well, it has been. It's just always delightful to every time we pluck another faculty member from Concordia Theological Seminary up in Fort Wayne back onto the program. It's always a little round of applause here in the studio.
It's a great honor and privilege.
I'm sure you've heard this before, that military chaplaincy is essentially an immoral enterprise, or at the very least it supports an immoral enterprise, war. How would you respond?
My response would be, first, nobody, least of all the men and women who wear the uniform, are anxious for a war. Let's begin with that. On Veterans Day, it's a great day to go up to those you know who have served their country in uniform and to thank them for what they've done and the gift that they've given to all of us, and that is the freedom to believe, the freedom to be, and to maybe talk to them about their own reflections on their experience, particularly if they were in combat. And I can guarantee you, no one's going to say this is a good thing. Veterans I know and those who have served their country and even gone into places of danger are particularly adamant about that. We want to avoid war. And I think that historically, the government of the United States has done everything it can to avoid war. Unfortunately, it has not always been possible to do that. Whether a particular war is moral or just is a question I think that's fairly asked by every Christian and needs to be debated among us. But certainly, we have to recognize first that the government, as government, does have that duty even to protect its citizens. One thinks of Romans 13 and Paul, and particularly Paul's concern there that Christians understand that the ruler or the government is God's servant, and that as God's servant, he does in fact bear the sword. What that means is that the government can indeed wage war. The question for chaplains, though, is not whether we're warriors, because at least in the American system, chaplains are not warriors. I am the only kind of naval officer that does not wear a sword with the dress uniform. And that's because I am a non-combatant, as are all chaplains. When we go into a combat theater, the chaplain does not bear a pistol, a knife, or a rifle. He's protected by an assigned Marine or sailor or soldier who will be there with him and who is trained to protect that chaplain. But the chaplain in no way is to be there as a fighter, as a warrior. The chaplain goes for one reason, and that is to bring that same gospel of Jesus Christ that's proclaimed in every pulpit throughout the country, to take that right into the midst of the battle which our young Americans are called to fight. And that's what we do. It's not a matter of politics or of coming in and saying this war is just or unjust. It's a matter of this young person whose life is on the line needs to hear and be reminded of the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. That's what we do.
So
it's not a political statement on the part of chaplains. We're there as ministers of Christ.
The soldiers need they need the gospel. Is that the simple logic at work here?
It is absolutely the logic. This is a unique environment to be a pastor, to bring the gospel. But it's the same gospel, the same good news of Jesus Christ, of sins forgiven, of life eternal in his name.
Talk about how it is a unique opportunity as well. Not only a unique situation, but in some cases, a perfect opportunity for the chaplain to apply both law and gospel in the lives of those who serve us in the military.
To be a chaplain is truly to be a missionary in a very unique kind of setting. You have to remember, the military is not a religious institution. It's a secular institution. And the bottom line for the military is it's not a place of social experimentation. It's not a place of anything except for this, to defend the country. And that means that those who serve in the military, their job, as some have expressed it, is to kill people and break things on behalf of the rest of us. I read recently a statement that you can sleep at night because there are rough men ready to do violence on your behalf, as a description of the military. Fortunately, that is indeed the case, and that's because of the fallen world in which we live. But the uniqueness of that is that because I wear a uniform, I'm a Navy chaplain attached to the Marine Corps, I wear this Marine Corps uniform, and I can go places that no other pastor can go, right where these kids are. And you got to remember that most of our military are between the ages of 18 and 22. The average sailor and Marine is something like 19 and a half years old. Average officer is something like 25. This is a very young community. Many, many of them have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have no idea how many of these folks that I've been able to sit down with and tell them about Jesus, just using the same religious language that we spout all the time and not really think about what we're saying. And I've had them look at me and say, you know, nobody's ever told me that before. I got to be there because I have the uniform. I thank God for that opportunity. It has not been easy. I've left my family for a year at a time in order to go out there and do that, as other chaplains have done. But we go because those are precious souls. Those are folks for whom Christ has died and risen. And there's this incredible opportunity, especially since the reality for the military is you can be at a stateside base one day, just going about your daily life, doing your routine that you do on a stateside base, and suddenly the call comes, and you're gone, and you're off in a place where they're going to attempt to take your life. And in some cases, the enemy will succeed. The chaplain is there with you. And what an opportunity with these young people at this critical time in their life to be able to be there as a pastor, especially with those who don't even know what a pastor is. They have no clue, but yet there you are, and you're speaking some things to them they've never heard, but they're anxious to hear.
This email comes from Bob in Vermont. How do Lutheran chaplains maintain the practice of close communion, that is, observing carefully the boundaries of fellowship around the Lord's Supper? Who will and who will not commune? About a minute for a response.
Very quickly then, our LCMS chaplains are to follow the same guidelines as any Missouri Synod pastor. They remain committed to that. There's a lot that goes into this, and if I could suggest going online to Concordia Theological Seminary website. There is a paper that I presented at a symposia perhaps 5 years ago. It's called Fellowship in the Military Chaplaincy. And if the emailer might look at that, and it will provide a more thorough explanation. But again, the Missouri Synod's chaplain's obligation is to properly represent the synod that we are committed to, and to commune those who are eligible to receive the sacrament based on the same fellowship issues that I would face as a civilian pastor.
With only 30 seconds, finally, Dr. Gard, how should Christians observe this Veterans Day?
In my opinion, first, to get down on your knees and thank God that we live in this country where we can have this kind of a radio show, that people can listen in on the internet and hear God's truth day in and day out. That's the most important gift, I think, that any people has ever been given. To thank God that there are those who have been willing to give their lives, and in fact, many have given their lives in order to preserve this kind of freedom for us, and not only for us, but that as some of our presidents have spoken of, that we might be a beacon of freedom in a world that doesn't know freedom.
Folks, you can read an article written by our guest, Dr. Daniel Gard, titled Kneeling in the Mud, the Ministry of a Mission to the Military. We'll also post his article, Fellowship in the Military Chaplaincy, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, you'll find both of those resources. Dr. Daniel Gard is professor of Old Testament and dean of military chaplaincy program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he serves as chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves attached to the Marines. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much, and God's blessings to all of you and to your listeners.
When we come back from this break, the remainder of this hour of Issues, Etc., we'll be spending it with Dr. Ron Rhodes. We'll talk about angels, very popular beings, these angels. What are they? Where do they come from? What do they do? We'll answer those questions right after this. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues, Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues, Etc. Issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues, Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.